Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Hesitates to believe in the all-knowing being. We can see history, our first great country, made a lot of mistakes along the way. Now we see a dire need to believe in something greater than all the things on our mind today. How many deaths can we bear? How many tears can we cry? When will we spread our
Assalamu alaikum. That is God's peace be upon you, and that peace obligates us to keep the peace. Welcome to Not Just Talk 360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and we appreciate you joining us. We have a guest with us this evening. Muhammad Ali Muhammad Ali is a public school teacher, and we're looking forward to introduce you to him, and he introduced himself to us. His call suddenly dropped, but we expected him to call back in at any moment now, and we have this conversation with a public school teacher, and I'm looking forward to this dialogue, this conversation, because we need to have a sense of where education is going, particularly coming from those who are on the front line. And we need to see how, in having this conversation, how we can introduce the standards and the concepts that invite us to human excellence, invite us to being the best human beings that we can be. And we also need to see the challenges, you know, because this is a human, a social challenge in terms of us establishing standards of human excellence in contrast to the retarding ideas, thinking and behavior that are showing to us. I'm going to just say a retarding effect of the human intellect, retarding effect of the human morals. We see this every day. We see how the human soul is being regressed, and the kind of savage thinking and behavior that's being demonstrated. So we're looking for Muhammad Ali to call back in, and inshallah we'll just continue until that time. I've been reading. I just recently purchased a couple of books on Islamic psychology. The focus on the human being from an Islamic perspective, and I hope in programs coming forward, I'll be able to share some of that with you. It's been a particular interest of mine, and it was good for me to learn more about Islamic approach to the human beings thinking. The human soul in the midst of today's world view of human psychology. For many years, the focus had been on behavioral psychology, and oftentimes, you know, comparisons between the human being and other mammals, you know, in terms of our behavior. The focus that Al-Islam brings to the human soul and the looking into the psyche of the human being is more in terms of the human spirituality. Human spirituality that gives a foundation for our human behavior and gives the distinction between the human being's urges and passions and the establishment of the intellect and the moral conscience of the human being. And it's a much more fulfilling picture of what we have been given as creations of Almighty God, what the Creator put in us. And it helps us to look at, in my opinion, a wider perspective of human progress and human establishment, you know, in terms of excellence in our thinking as well as in the establishment of our morals and ethical behavior. Praise be to Allah. So we're thankful and grateful for you being present with us this evening. I had coming out of a class that I regularly attend with Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, a student of Imam Muhammad, and the classes that Imam Muhammad led on Sundays in Chicago. And now this Imam and instructor is established Islamic classes, and going beyond just the classes, he is established as an educator with the focus of qualifying Muslims in scholarship in comparative religion, scholarship in the various areas of Islamic education. And it's a wonderful thing because it is grounded in the leadership focus of Imam Wahdeen Muhammad, bringing fresh perception to areas not only of al-Islam, not only of insights into Prophet Muhammad's model or example, apply the Islamic guidance, but also dealing in other areas of human life that affords us the opportunity to fulfill the natural human urge to establish ourselves in community and to be responsible for the institutional life of community in education, in government, in business and culture. And it's very inspiring to know that Allah is with us in this task of taking accountability and responsibility for our group life. And it's very important. So it looks like we may just have to open the mics up. I talked with our guest, and he something may have come up because he was with us. His phone number showed up on the switchboard, as we were playing the intro music, and suddenly, so something may have happened. But alhamdulillah, I may just as an opener, yeah, I think I will. I'll share some of this new publication that I've received. Let me see if I can. Here we go. I've got two books that just recently came through the mail. Quranic Psychology of the Self, a textbook on Islamic moral psychology, and the Arabic name is Ilm, which is science. Ilm al-Nafs, the science of the soul, or the nafs, by Leila Bakhtiar. But this book, I think I'll share some of it with you. This book, Psychology of Personality, Islamic Perspectives, edited by Amber Haq and Yasin Muhammad. I'm going to share a little bit of this. This publication is much smaller, and it's not presenting itself. It's not presenting itself as a textbook. Textbooks can be more challenging reading for many of us, myself especially, because I have study discipline issues. But anyway, we want to share this. Psychology of Personality, Islamic Perspective. Personality, this is Amber Haq. Personality is a common word whose pervasiveness should not mislead one into ignoring its profundity and significance. Psychologists believe that the study of personality is crucial to an understanding of human beings, and that major social problems are substantially caused by humans themselves. Thus, in order to understand human nature and alleviate problematic conditions in societies, a comprehensive study of personality is crucial. No wonder that personality, in quotes, then both the subject matter and indeed the signifier for a branch within the discipline of psychology that is studied and taught in academic institutions around the world. What is personality? How does it develop? What changes it? And why do people have different personalities? These are important questions that need to be asked. But before we venture into these questions, it should be pointed out that the concept of personality is part of the Western lexicon, which carries implications to be considered later. Gordon Allport, a Harvard professor, first introduced the term into psychology in the 1930s. In contrast, the classical writings of Islamic scholars use terms like, quote, nafs, unquote, alb, unquote, ruh, or psyche to signify human personality. However, academics are still grappling with the concept of human nature, which, while controversial at best in most Western writing, we feel is also critically related with the study of personality. It is certainly a paradox that despite immense progress in science and technology, man has yet to come to grips with an understanding of his own nature. Well, I'll stop there. And, you know, there are reasons for this presenter's standing or view of this idea of personality and how it's affected and how it's seen in Western thought, in Western perception. So, and this is something that I have had a great deal of interest in terms of Allah tells us that there are three developments of the human soul, the human nafs. One is a beginning aspect or beginning establishment of the soul in nafsin la'amara. And that is the soul that is asserting itself, demanding. You know, you can kind of look at how certain toddlers behave. You can kind of see this nefsin la'amara. It's demanding and commanding. Assertiveness, you know, that has to be disciplined, because without it, there are those human development studies and childhood studies that if the young child is not socialized, is not given certain tools to discipline itself, to self-discipline itself, if it's not given those tools by 4 years old, that person has a very rough time thereafter, because the human person needs to manage self, needs to be in control of those urges that are spoken of in this focus of nefsin la'amara, where it's compulsive, you know. And Allah talks about, Almighty God mentions in the Quran that the soul who is not in control, the soul that is following passions and urges, you know, emotionally directing their life without a discipline, a self-control, and the following of established standards for human interaction, then that person is going to have a problematic life, a life of difficulty. And Allah says, the person who's following these urges and passions, there's no help for that person. You know, they're not disciplining themselves or controlling themselves in a manner to grow their life properly in a healthy way. So that was one of the verses in the Quran making us aware of the person who's compulsive, and how pulsion is a big problem. I got a book some years back, the particular focus was, what do you call them, the dervishes. They're not dervishes, but the Sufi. It's a group of Muslims who are, they're very, very much into the spirituality and spiritual science in Islam. And this particular book was dealing with the attributes of Almighty God. And there was one attribute that got my attention in regards to this development, Nefsin La Amara. And the attribute is El Jabbar. And these attributes and other Islamic focuses, there is a connection with examples in the creation, in the world, that gives some insight or helps with insight. And this word or this attribute, Al-Jabbar, is described as the description, or one of the descriptions, is that of a cast that is helping to restrain a broken bone. So the cast, the nature of the cast is to keep that bone that has been set so that it can heal, to keep it from coming out of position. And cast is a way of restraining the movement of that limb that has a break in it. And so El Jabbar is seen as a compelling control over pulsive nature of in the human being, that Allah has the power, the compelling power, to discipline that individual that is under the power of compulsion or under the power of not managing the self properly, not managing. So praise be to Allah. This, like I said, this idea of what Allah has to say for us, say to us in the guidance of the Quran, the sacred Quran, in looking at the psychology of personality from an Islamic perspective. Again, we're hoping that everything is all right with our invited guest, Muhammad Ali of California. We hope that everything is okay with him. Like I said, he was on earlier at the beginning of the program, and his call dropped. So we hope everything is all right with him. We invite you, dear audience, to share your thoughts either around this particular focus of Islamic perspective of the psychology of personality or anything else that you would like to share. You're welcome to press one to come into the conversation. But there's so much for us to learn from the guidance of God in terms of what Almighty God has put in us as human being, and the excellence that he has given us to grow our life and the life of the society, the community life. And it is I would say, a wonderful gift that God has given us in terms of giving us the ability to manage our own individual life, to manage the growth and development of the social life, the societal life, the life of community. So we mentioned Nefsin La Amara as the first development challenging man to control and to direct this aspect of the soul in a way that it will tell us towards the best that God has put in us, and establishing that in our homes and in the community life. So following Nefsen La'amara is Nefsen Luama, the self-awareness that critiques the self or manages to judge its own behavior in terms of the standards that God has established for the human being in scripture, the Holy Quran and other scriptures, being able to make telling self, the self that drives us to seek out good information and can also be a force in compelling us towards those things that are not beneficial for the human being. It's a challenge. It's a contender with the best that God has potentially put in us, and that potential is to be grown, and we become aware and self-aware of that life of excellence. So Nefsen La'awama, that is the self that objectively looks at our behavior and that development in the soul, or questions and seeks to correct those areas where we're not, you could say, in balance, or we're not conforming to a consistent behavioral standard. And then the last of the maturing development of the soul is Nefsen Mutma'ina. And Nefsen Mutma'ina is a place where the Creator, Almighty God, who originated us as human beings, is pleased with us, and we are pleased with the fact that we are pleasing Almighty God and we're being obedient to Him and what He calls for the human being in terms of human establishment. And we're going to open up the line to our Executive Director of Community Wide Shura Conference. Welcome, Sister Martha Nye. Abdullah.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Come on in.
Yes, and just when you said that part that critiques us, I said, "Oh, click one."
Okay, yeah. What you got for us? Let me hear.
What I got is, you know, I'm always putting myself on the building block. I love to think of it that way, but.
That's it.
I mean, when we get to a point where, and I remember just last month, I was saying to myself, I said, you know, I'm so at peace, and I truly, truly was and am at peace. And then you find that there's always those areas that can be improved upon. And it's like when you're right there, it's like that's where the rest is shining all over the cloud. I mean, you know, the blueness is there, but the right where the dark clouds are and it's raining just on you, that's just that area where you say, wow, okay. Even though you have these sunshiny areas, you have this dark cloud. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And that's what, you know, I find, I say to myself, and it always comes back to organization. I'm okay with relationships. I think I'm okay with relationships, you know, meeting people, greeting people, treating them, speaking to them in a way that I truly want to get to know you. But on the other end is it takes away from time management. So that's where I am. Praise be to Allah. As we all say, pray for me.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
All right. That's what I have to give. Alhamdulillah.
All right,
that's why
you.
We have each
thank
other.
You.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
We
thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Yes, yes. The challenges of life and the challenges of us developing ourselves. Well, thanks be to Allah. Our guest is with us. He's returned. I hope everything is all right. We're going to open up his mic. And this is Muhammad Ali. And if we can get you to introduce yourself to the audience, say a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and a little bit about you.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum to the audience.
Alaikum assalam.
My name is Muhammad Ali Mali, and I am from California, the West Coast, to the San Francisco Bay Area. And my background has been in education. I'm an educator. I've written children's books, and I'm also a musician, a percussionist. And presently, I'm working in education in the field of special ed. So I've been in education for 40 years, and so I have been able to develop a pretty sober context of what it means to be educated and what we should do to educate our children, in particular to prepare them for the future. So it's been a continuous evolution, a continuous struggle. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, and your interest in improving your ability to teach young people has led you to to really become a student of the religion of Al-Islam, the Quran, and the life of Prophet Muhammad. And in our conversation, you share with me how you apply that, and also the insights into a new field of Islamic spiritual science that instructor and Imam Benjamin Bilal, the music opener that we have, is one of his. He's one of those Renaissance people. We utilize his song "In God We Trust" to open up our program, and you're a student, of Nunetics, which he has introduced.
Oh,
and I'm sure
could you give me about 30 seconds? I have something I have to do right quick. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Just a moment.
You're with us. And so. This is a wonderful day for the wide awake human being. Almighty God is establishing our human life globally.
I'm sorry about that.
Assisting. Yes.
Yeah, I'm back.
So God is
assisting
us. Okay. So God is assisting us. And we have Muhammad Ali with us this evening to share with us the observations and also share some of the techniques, the methods that he's using upon the aforementioned life tools that he has developed as a Muslim. So if you will, Muhammad, share some things.
I think one of the first things that I feel that we have to understand and pay close attention to is the language. The language is very essential, and to cultivate the students and the importance of the language and how the language is connected to them as human beings, how the language is connected to the students as an ethnic group in terms of where we all come from ethnically and socially. But the most important thing is the cultivation of the language, because within the language, that's the key. And especially when we have an educational situation where the major language is English. And if our students don't understand I call it the science and the secrets of the language as it applies to what takes place in the classroom, they won't succeed. And then what goes with the language is the psychology of education. You gotta tie those things together. You have to tie those things together, because if you don't, you won't be able to fully cultivate the excellence of the student and prepare them for academic excellence. That's extremely important. The language is what gets us, trips us out. The English language trips us out real bad, because we don't know how to approach it. And the other thing about it is because English is presented to us from a European, and I say this in context, ethnic perspective, not considering nobody else. It mm-hmm. cuts everybody else off, especially African American children. And that can become a big failure, because if you don't have the proper understanding of yourself, like Imam Muhammad said, your first definition is human. And then language comes from creation. And so we have these various areas of human beings. And what I've learned in Nunetics, there's only seven areas of cultivation, articulation that comes out of the human mouth. So language is universal. So you can speak everybody's language, but it's very important for you to understand the language that you have to use to be successful every day for African-American children and children in general. But, you know, that's my experience. When I was able to solve the language problem for African-American children, that was a major, major renaissance for me, because I understood in depth what it meant, because I struggled coming up in school. I had dyslexia. It was difficult. I had a difficult time until I figured out what it was.
You say dyslexia?
Yes. I came to as a child and years of college until I figured out how to deal with it. So the cultivation of the language is very important. And I would say, so because in the classroom, every classroom, just say you have a school, okay, and you have different teachers in different rooms teaching different subjects. Well, all of those subjects are language subjects. In other words, if it's science, it's language. And all of them are designed to do a particular thing. It's like all the organs in the body, they're all designed to work to keep the body healthy. Well, so a child will go into a classroom and get all these different concepts. It's all language, but it's all designed to do one thing. It's supposed to be designed to cultivate the human being or to cultivate you to be excellent. And so if we understand that, we will approach this whole thing about how we should educate our children and connect them to who they are as human beings, number one, and their relationship to all the other human beings on the earth. So we can't forget about Africa.
Yeah.
We cannot forget about Africa, because Africa is where we come from. And so our children have to know everything about everybody all over the earth and keep it in perspective. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
You know, as an educator.
Yeah.
I've experienced that. And I've had students from all over the world. Vietnamese, Sudan, Ethiopia, Afghanistan, Nigeria, it's you know, and then the African American and Caucasian students in this country.
Yeah.
So it's you know, well, it's a. Go ahead. I'm sorry for talking too much.
Pause.
Go ahead.
Let's take a pause here. We're going to take a pause for station identification and a public service announcements. You're listening to Muhammad Ali, educator out of the San Francisco Bay Area. He's joining us as a guest. You're listening to Not Just Talk on AM360.org with your host, Michael Hameen, and we'll be back after these messages.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alay, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. For those of you who are listening in by way of the World Wide Web, the Internet, we invite you to call in the phone number 515-605-9891, 515-605-9891, to join us in the conversation. Our guest, Muhammad Ali, educator from the San Francisco Bay Area, and we were having a conversation. We are having a conversation about education and the frontline activities of educating a diverse group of students over his 30-plus years of education. I think he said 40 years.
Yes, man. I would say 40. yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Alhamdulillah. So let's continue. What I love about our conversation, you know, you are describing the the environment, the social environment of education when we talk, and what are the students bringing into the classroom. And if you would share that with us and, you know, to whatever degree you're able to plant seeds in that social environment that they're acting and moving in as students.
Generally speaking, the students bring into the social environment what is
happening in the culture, the media, cell phones. That's what they bring into the environment. But at the same time, as I was saying, that as an educator, I have to recognize what they have and not to be judgmental about what they have, but at the same time to point them to what it means to be a human being. And I want to reiterate orientation into human identity. And this will give a high degree of self-confidence. And this first approach also supports and advances mental health and mental science. So you have to, you have to take them, because you see a lot of crazy things, okay? And you see a lot of good things. But but what you have to do is try to get into, you're talking about the essence and the cultivation of the human mind and the human heart. You have to be able to approach them so you can help them. I mean, I've had experience, like I had one student come up to me several years ago, said, Mr. Ali, he said, I got some good weed. And I looked at him, I said, oh, no, what are you talking about? And he kept talking to me like this, and I just said, okay, well, I'm sorry, but I don't deal with anything like that. And so why don't you try to do something else with your life? And I mean, that's about as far as I took it. I couldn't take it any further, but my objective was to try to influence him in another direction. The potential is there. The potential is there. The potential is there as human beings to be able to ingest knowledge, interpret knowledge, synthesize it, and to use it to advance themselves in society. See, that's important. Students have to be able to know how to function in society. And as I was saying, the first definition is human being. That's human. That'll get you through a lot of crazy stuff. Okay. So that's important, is being able to touch them, because they need help. They need help. They need help. They don't need you jumping on them, because you won't get nowhere with them. They need help. Most of them need help. I don't care what color they look like.
And something that I have I've considered more acutely is the fact that, you know, a lot of times we take for granted that these young people have the same ability to understand and the same ability to process ideas, but you know, young people are developing people. You know, they're developing mind. They're developing persons. And, you know, the mind, you know, their behavior has a lot to do with their ability or inability to process ideas, to process what's happening with them and to them in the social life, you know, in the cultural life. They just are not equipped to understand as we as adults should understand. Because the brain itself has not fully matured, you know. So there's this saying, you know, get your head around it. Well, they're in a period where they're not developed enough to get their head around certain ideas.
Yeah, you have to take them where they are, okay. Whatever they bring to you, that's you got to meet them at that level, and then at the same time, you have to. It's a counseling session. You're cultivating with language, and you have to give them simple language that they can understand, so they can try to do better. And okay, so in order for them to do better, you have to help them see themselves. This is my opinion. You have to help them see themselves the way they should look at themselves. That's important.
Yes.
If they don't see themselves, the human thing is important, or the concept of black is important
contextually, but the human concept is more important, because that gets into the very nature, your essence, your inheritance, your nature, what you are, and what comes with that, and the potential that comes with that. I mean, there's a way to say it, and there's a lot of things you can do, okay, but that's important. I had a group of students last year, a group of boys, and I play drums, and so I taught them how to play drums. And when it came time to do a presentation outside, we were able to play drums. But that's the avenue. That's a door. Okay? That's a door.
Yes.
To uplift these students. And I had all kinds of students who wanted to play drums. Asians, Caucasians. I let them all play. Okay?
Yes.
But because the objective was to cultivate and touch the inside of this person. Like I was saying, education is psychological. It's psychology, too. It's psychology, too. You could be in the classroom, and the psychological environment of the teacher can be very negative if the teacher doesn't understand what it means to cultivate, to cultivate students. I mean, it's a lot that you have to consider. And you have to be sensitive with, because they bring a lot of stuff, man. You know, a lot of stuff.
They really expressing to us in their behavior, because their behavior, you know, as we grow and mature, we're able to express and display our behavior, putting on our best face, you know, our best behavior, so to speak, and we're able to hide or keep certain things hidden in terms of where we are developmentally. But you don't have those filters with young people. You don't have those filters, you know.
Yeah,
they haven't learned how to be. Trying to think of a good word for it. Not so much deceptive, but how to be
critical,
reserved in terms.
Reserved, critical thinkers and refined. You know, I mean, there's a social discipline. You know, they are learning that, and. You know, that's why I was just saying that you have to really know how to touch somebody. You have to touch them.
Yes, sir.
Not just teach them, but you have to touch them.
There's
a lot going on in their lives, especially now with and the thing that our children go through with this family situation. It's family life, man. Where they come from. Yeah, man. You know, I thank a lot for being in the house. I thank a lot for being in the house with my daddy and my mama, you know, all my life, and my granny and my grandfather and the extended family. Yeah.
The challenges of mothers and fathers nowadays is extreme. I can't think of a better word, because you know the social life is putting out the cultural life is putting out influences that are affecting even so-called mature caregivers. You know, and a lot of times the social dynamics with single parent home, particularly. Single parent homes of mothers with sons. The statistical analysis in regards to single parent homes and how those homes are more challenged in terms of giving a child a better situation in terms of the standards necessary to be successful and to achieve their best. You know. We've disregarded the best social dynamics of a two family home with children. You know, father and mother being in the house. In some cases, we've been invited to disregard that, and
we've
you have some of us, don't see a problem with single parenting, you know, but it presents a lot of challenges. I've observed that oftentimes. Many mothers, I'm not saying all, but many mothers are not aware that young men need to be taught how to be young men by men.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
I've seen mothers, you know, and I understand it, you know, dealing with young boys, rambunctious young men, especially teenagers. I've seen mothers put bass in their voice, you know, and I understand that because these young men can get out of control in your house and take your house over.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
But they really need mentoring, you know. These young men need to be mentored, you know, by men.
That's right. That's
that
right.
Understand,
that's right.
That understand manhood.
Right.
That's why I appreciate you being in the classroom. Because young men need to see what men look like that are about their manhood.
Yeah, and they need to see,
like
need to see what men look like. Go ahead.
Yeah.
They need to see what men look like.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And how men talk. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
How men talk on a social level. And how men present themselves on a social level. You know,
that's right.
That's very important. I mean, you have to be refined, and that's one of the things that education is supposed to do for you, is to refine your human character.
That young man probably was expecting you to go off when he offered you some reefer. He was really messing with you.
You know what I did? I ended up turning his name into the principal, man. They just said, okay. But you know, it's a lot of things that goes on. And I was thinking about the two family the two families in the Arabic alphabet. There's a letter called the lamb, and it's spelled in English.
Yes.
It's L-A-A-M, but it's the L, okay?
Yes.
And it represents the tongue as a point of communication. And in my research, it's called lisan, it's a masculine word, okay. It's masculine, okay, and so what makes it masculine is that when it goes out, it influences the environment. So you have two people in the house. You got the female and the male, and they both have tongues, and this influential. Language that comes out the tongues of both parents is masculine to influence the mind of the child. That's very important.
Yeah.
It's an influence factor, you know, because you know, again, we talk about the family being the basic unit of civilization, and if we understand. As it relates to nature, because the Quran talks about the Deen al-Fitra, the family life should be a model of the natural pattern that you find in creation. That's the family model.
That's the model.
And all the dynamics that come with that. We're not talking about slavery
and the family and chauvinism and all this kind of isms in the family. We're talking about a situation that will help cultivate life. And life in the family is life in the society, and it's life in the community, and the projection of culture. It's three, four, five, four. Family, education, trade and commerce, and government, science and technology, and all of these things. Family life.
Yeah.
You know,
it's interesting you mentioned the lamb. Is lamb paired up with the ra? Are they paired up?
I'm not too sure because I haven't really studied that relationship. Okay, but to my understanding, the ra, when you think about ra, you're thinking about movement, you know, repetition, movement, things that move.
Yeah.
And
What are the two letters that are paired up? I'm a little rusty that science of letters, but because you were talking about the areas of articulation, and I'm trying to think of those two letters, because what I'm getting at is that Almighty God has told us that He's created things in pairs, and I was trying to see. Let me see. I've got my Nunetics book here. Where are they? Yes, lamb and raw liquids. Yes, alhamdulillah.
I thought I was right.
Yeah, the liquids.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm looking at it in terms of what you were discussing. With the natural family life of a male and a female, a father and a mother, being in the home, in reference to your using the insight of that letter lamb, in terms of both of them being expressive, you know, in giving the child what they need, and There's a great imbalance going on. The larger societal life, family is the base unit of the family life, of the social life, but the cultural influences that direct, and I'm going back to what you shared with this example, for a young man to see the classroom or the school life as a place for him to sell his illegal wares of reefer, you know, and even approach teachers in that way. You know, there's something wrong with that picture.
There's something seriously
wrong with that picture. And so they bring the problematic issues from the culture into the classroom setting. I remember a very gritty television program called The Wire. Mm-hmm, and The Wire, mm-hmm. I was looking at a little bit of it last week, and they had to take these children that were not respectful of the classroom environment for learning, and they wanted to do their own thing and disrupt the class. They put them all in one class approached their learning. But what they were discussing is that these youngsters that are disruptors, they're not dumb. But they have a certain social image that's been put on them, and what do you call these homes that are the homes that are problematic in the way that they interact with one another. You know, there's a name for it, dysfunctional. Yeah, dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Homes, dysfunctional homes. My mind is racing because I'm looking at the clock as well as you know, but yeah, it was showing these children. They sense how the leaders in the society have put them on a particular page,
and so they act out in that way.
You know, they're not being appealed to in terms of their possibilities, the potential.
That's right, they haven't
fully developed, you know. But go ahead, if you will.
Because you're in the classroom with them.
Well, there's
an approach, and I'd like to reiterate on a few things about, African-American students, but students in general. African American students must be taught the science and the application of the English language as a body of knowledge. The language is the key, and students must be able to apply the science of language in the social and natural sciences. Okay, and this includes this includes the location of African countries, all the African tribes that were brought to America. The culture trace must be included, the language must be included, and the family life must be included, and all the religious practices must be included. Music, dress, food must be included as a body of knowledge to give a perspective, And I think this is very important. Again, the cultivation of the human being is essential, and it can be done. It can be done. It just takes some money. When I say money, so you can set up institutions to do that.
Yes, the standards and principles of Al-Islam and the Quranic guidance are very much needed. If understood, how to present those ideas in a manner and a language that is like, for instance, you know, you do see in a number of cases. Christianity coming into the school environment.
But it's
regarded as not supposed to be there. You know, they've taken, you know, the prayer out of the school and so forth. But the idea, the benefit of the language that we have from the Quran in addressing the fitra, nature,
right?
You know, we know nature is established by the Creator, but utilizing the language of nature, letting these young people know, like you said, I really like that focus that you have on nature is not, language is not a Caucasian thing. The potential for language expression and the learning of various language has been put in us by nature. And when young people can connect with that idea, that it's not this knowledge and language is not a white man thing, you know, it's a human thing.
And you know something? It'll work. You know why? Because I did it. Okay, I did it, and I was successful.
Yes, sir.
Okay. When you talk about language, as I was saying, this also includes the study of the African languages, the language from Europe, and the language from Asia, because there are only 7 points of articulation that comes out the human mouth. 7 points. And all of these languages are expressed in those 7 points. And then, as I indicated earlier,
the study of nature and its natural pattern, and how these patterns cultivate the human intellect must be mastered. It must, and I see this, I can remember when I was going to school, they made you afraid of science.
Yes.
They made you afraid of science. Okay. So, look, science comes out of creation, man.
That's
science
right.
comes out of the natural world. And the natural world and the human mind should marry one another.
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, it's and I'm just saying it in perspective, because if I go into a classroom with the right understanding, man, I can help some students. I can be successful, you know. And then and the other thing that I feel, students in general, but African-American students should be taught and trained, and I'm going to say this, to be competitive and to be motivated.
Yeah, that's something that's been missing.
It's missing to be competitive and to be motivated. And don't be afraid to be competitive.
Well, you know, you can show them that that's a natural
yeah.
urge in the human being, because you
yeah.
see how to compete for foolishness. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
who can
yeah,
outbest
yeah.
who can outbest the other one in a bunch of foolishness, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're competing
yeah,
for
I,
the wrong thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You, that's true. And I'm just saying this in comparison to, because I can remember my struggles. They were I struggled with this dyslexia, but when I found out what it was, it changed my whole,
yeah.
whole dynamic. It changed my whole
Isn't
approach.
That
tough? Yeah, yeah. And praise be to Allah, when I went and studied on the graduate level, because I understood this, okay, I was able to get through that. And I had to write papers to PhDs, for PhDs, professors. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, because I struggle, and I'm still struggling with it. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that the potential, if you're born from a mother, okay, you're born with everything on the inside of you. That
and that's something these young people need to understand that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You know, in Al-Islam, there's a saying about struggling to understand the Quran, and how in that struggle is a great reward. There's some that find, you know, language easy. Some that find the classroom environment a lot easier based, you know, because some of, you know, we all have various experiences and whatnot. Some of us are more challenged because of environment
yes,
or internal
true.
Things like dyslexia.
That's true.
But once you understood what you were dealing with, you were able to pursue excellence in education with that understanding. And those muscles that you had built up in struggling with dyslexia, you know, they come into utility in terms of how you teach and interact with the students.
That's right. And dyslexia don't have nothing to do with intelligence.
Yes.
Has nothing to do with intelligence at all. Okay.
Explain what it's that is. What it is.
Well, it's okay. And I'm in layman terms, it takes place. It's a difficulty within inside the human mind to process the words that you read. The processing
yes.
of words is difficult. Okay, and so sometimes you might see things and read things backwards, or you might write something and leave something out, you know. But sometimes when I think about words, in order for me to get them right, I have to think about how each word sounds phonetically, because every letter has a sound, okay?
Yeah.
And I have to put all of those letters together, and every letter has a meaning. right? For example, as I was talking about the lamb, you know, the root, okay, the lamb seen me, every one of those letters have a meaning. They have a frequency. They have a vibration. Every one of them has a meaning. And when you master the meaning of each letter, of the sound of each letter, you master reading. And you put all that together, you begin to understand what the word is all about. Okay, so as I was saying, the cultivation of one of the greatest things that our students can have is how to master and take apart English. That's important. It's extremely important. Because that's the first language that most of our children come in contact with, especially if it's not second language. Second language students have less of a problem. They have less of a problem. Spanish, the Spanish students, they, when it comes to the English, they have less of a problem. Because they come to school with a sense of language. Their own language, what they call it. But at the same time, as I was saying, language, the whole idea of language as a natural phenomena. Number one, it comes from the human mind looking at creation and giving things names.
And those with other languages, the way the English language is structured is much more challenging, you know, in terms of exceptions to rules the diversity of the language components being introduced from other languages like Latin and Greek and Arabic, you know, all of these components within the English language itself, you know, makes it more challenging.
And English is the hardest. English is the hardest because English got some rules that contradict one another. Okay. In Arabic, because I'm studying it, you don't have sound contradictions. Each letter and each vowel it sounds the way it's supposed to sound.
Yes, silent K's.
It's either I, E, and U, long A, long E, or long U. You know, it's consistent, and I'm just saying that in terms of me dealing with the dyslexia, that also helped me out too. Helped me out.
Yes, sir.
But other languages, and we have to expose our children to. If I had my way, I would expose my children to all the languages that came to America on the slave ships. Because if you really study them closely, you'll see how they are all related phonetically, vowel-wise.
That's interesting that you should bring that up because I'm reading now and hearing. You know, I learn a lot from listening. So I'm listening to different presentations on YouTube and other areas where the African continent has so many hundreds upon hundreds of different languages and dialects, and that they're in the process of finding a unifier, and they have been working with Kiswahili because it had been used across Africa in terms of a way of transacting business and other affairs. With the Kiswahili as being a common ground for language, you know.
Yeah, so it's, you know, education is the key. Now think about, I was doing some research and I found out yesterday that between 1865 and 1925. There were 2,000 schools set up to educate the so-called ex-slaves.
Yes.
2,000, including the universities. So So to say that we don't have a propensity, a sensitivity to education is not correct. What has happened, there are other things that have been made more important than education. And my praise be to Allah, my grandmother's sister graduated from Grambling 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just thinking about, and so my family were teachers. Education. That's one of the keys. And as we always talk about education, family, culture, and economics, you know?
Yeah, I'm reading now. I'm reading a book on the 19th century phenomenon of colored conventions. That colored was one of the names that we, as African Americans, have been called here in terms of our experience. But the colored conventions included black editors, black personalities like Frederick Douglass. The women were involved. I'm bringing this up because those conventions were focused on the group consulting with one another in terms of how to deal with issues of not being recognized as citizens. Riots being black folks being attacked, you know, for trying to exercise that right. And the response was these conventions. And David Walker, you know, was around the time he was alive during this. It started around 1829 with a riot in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
The response to a riot in Pittsburgh. And I'm raising this, I'm bringing this up because of the strategies that were discussed during this convention time. Although it's not connected, I'm making the connection between it and the Great Migration, where, you know, Isabel Wilkerson talks about this period of migration. But she describes it as being leaderless, not having a leader. But the spirit, I see the spirit of leadership had developed beginning way back in 1829 when these African American folks were joining together in this convention strategy, you know, that the leadership came, the leadership for that impulse to move to a better situation came out of those strategies and expressions of what can we do, what should we do, you know. Education is vitally important, and we've been told to reach back and bring forward the best of those experiences. And certainly we need to be aware of our relationship to education in America. First being deprived of education, and then when was permitted, the outside control of Caucasians wanting to control what we were learning and how we were learning, you know?
That's true.
It's important for us to know these things.
Think about Dr. Carter G. Woodson, the miseducation of the Negro. Think about what he was talking
about.
That's right. And let me say this, and we've just been confronted with this whole idea of affirmative action. We won't need no affirmative action if you put everything on the table with the equal opportunity to advance. We won't need that.
And I would include with that taking greater responsibility for us educating ourselves.
That's what I'm talking about.
Look
at this. We got Howard. We got Meharry.
Yeah.
We got all of these schools, man, you know, that even though they were not put up by us, but they allowed us to represent a advancement, a potential advancement. But if we could put a university or a school system up on the same level and include that on a daily basis, the belief in one God and the cultivation of the human intellect and the master of the sciences and language, we could advance far, far, far.
I'm listening, I'm involved right now with young men that are young men and women that are thinking that way in the Muslim community.
Yeah, we could do it. We could do it. We could do it, and I know we can do it because again, in terms of those that control the educational system, okay, control the psychology and the language of it, okay. So when you can control the psychology and the language of education, you can prevent certain things from naturally evolving and coming out and manifesting themselves in terms of human cultivation, scientific innovation, economic innovation. See, these are the things that we have to look at. Look at one of the best examples. We talk about education and family and social life. Tulsa. We should study Tulsa. Tulsa, Oklahoma, man.
Yes.
That was, man. And to burn that town down because of a so-called disrespect to a Caucasian woman that wasn't the truth? Something else had to be behind that. But I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is that this whole thing of education is important. It's important, period.
Yeah, it's vital. It's vital to our.
Yeah, it's vital. It's
vital progress.
And I just look at, you know, I look at my family and the people. I was blessed to work for a doctor. His name was Dr. Goodlett, and he was a graduate of Meharry. Dr. Dillard had a PhD in psychology. We're talking about education now. And he was a medical doctor, and he owned one of the African-American newspapers in San Francisco called the Sun Reporter, and I worked for him. Dr. Dillard was an exceptional man, and I thank Allah for that experience with him because I was able to see a whole lot of things that we could do and that he did. In San Francisco, he was tough, man. Praise be to Allah. I learned a lot.
Well, listen,
I learned a lot from him.
We've come to the end of our time. I've really enjoyed. Our guest has been Muhammad Ali, and he is what I like to call a frontline educator. What age group?
Okay. Look, I've been through the whole education process from kindergarten to high school, because
okay.
I've seen it on all those different levels.
Yes, sir. Okay.
And so you know, it's basically it's all the same thing, brother. It starts off with the same thing: language and human cultivation and human psychology in the classroom. Extremely important.
Praise be to Allah.
I appreciate being able to talk, and I'm open for lectures. So if there's any interest, they can contact you, and you can contact me.
Wonderful. All right, we'll do that. And,
okay, alhamdulillah. So thank you very much, and may Allah bless you, and may Allah bless the audience, and may Allah bless this planet Earth to come into its full and human understanding.
Ameen.
Ameen.
Thank you again. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And dear audience, you've heard Muhammad Ali, San Francisco Bay Area educator. And we're closing out. We're going to close out with a supplication, a dua. One said personally by Imam Muhammad, but modified to be inclusive of us all. And we ask Allah, O Allah, we cannot manage this life for ourselves, not without you. Make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. Dear audience, thank you so much. We greet you with the greetings of peace. Of assalamu alaikum.
Hesitates to believe in the all-knowing being. We can see history, our first great country made alive.